know, we're going through it, and that's all right. We'll get through it. We always do. In the midst of it, a couple weeks ago, my wife got an email from one of her students, and you know, just wanted to talk to her, missed her. You know, that really made Amy happy, and then I think it was this week that just passed. Another student came to school with his mother to come visit Amy. And she told me a story of her, you know, the mom and her crying, and the little boy just smiling ear to ear. He's so happy to see Miss Amy. I mean, it was just a wonderful thing. And then yesterday, we got home from Tanya's house, and she texted and said, "Mommy, I'm going to paraphrase. Thank you for bringing my Jesus teacher to my birthday." Talk about Miss Amy coming to see him at Tanya's house. And I just tell her, the impact that you leave on people, Amy.
Amen.
The impact that you leave on people. You may not see it right now, but I'm just telling you, one day the Lord's going to bring that back to those who are out there doing the things that, you know, that God would have us to do in one day. I said, you know, she has a hard time with these kids at school, and I understand why. They throw things at her, hit her, all that crazy stuff. I said, you know what, one day, what if 25 years down the road, one of those kids knock on our door, and we go there, and this kid says, "Hey, my name is Michael, and I'm a preacher. Miss Amy, you may not remember me, but I was in your class, and I just want to thank you for what you've done for me." Don't you think that ain't possible?
Right.
I know it's possible. And that's why we should live our lives according to that, because we just don't know. We don't know the impact that we're going to have on people's lives. And I really just stress that with my family. Listen, hey, I came in here and I was in a horrible mood. No sleep, tired. I mean, as grouchy as ever could be. Tanya heard me say, I said, "Man, I'm just in a bad, bad mood today." But the way I live that bad mood will impact somebody's life. There's proof that there's change in me, because I didn't flip out on anybody. I didn't cuss nobody out, swing my fist off at anybody. None of that stuff. There's a proof. Why? Because that impact on people is so important.
Amen.
On how we carry ourselves. We carry the name of Jesus Christ with us wherever we go. That should be in the forefront of our minds of how we act and react to things. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that with everybody. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. I hit on this a little bit last week down in my my Sunday school class, and the Lord just put it on my heart that I really should preach this up here and be able to hopefully finish off. And it's good. God is just so good when you're getting His Word and you're studying, start seeing things and recognizing things. And 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to start in verse 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Notice that the devil blinds the minds and not the eyes. Because if he blinded the eyes, then they would not see the world or self, but there would be a good chance they would see Jesus Christ. If he came and just attacked the eyes, you know what? Just imagine not seeing the things of this world. You may hear them or whatever, you know, feel them. Just imagine never having to lay your eyes on the things of this world. You know, there's a good chance that you would get saved. It's a good chance that people might not get saved just because of what they see and what they perceive and all that stuff together. So just imagine. He doesn't blind the eyes. He comes and blinds the minds. And why? Let me get ahead of myself. He says, because if he blind their eyes, they would not see the world or self, but there would be a good chance that they might see Jesus Christ. Because he says we're not saved by sight, but by faith. I didn't have to see Jesus Christ to get saved, but by his faith I am saved. You see, I don't have to lay eyes on him. He says, "Blessed are those who do not see, but yet believe." See, I haven't laid eyes physically on Jesus Christ. I have not laid my eyes on Him. So therefore, it doesn't take sight to get saved.
Right.
Doesn't take sight to get saved. But, you know, His faith. Pastor talked about His faith being inside you. His faith. Him giving you the faith. That's that gift. If He gave you the faith, then you wouldn't need sight. So sight is really not the important thing here. And I just want to stress that. He says, but the minds. Why the minds? We already know that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says that. So if the heart is already wicked, and even more wicked than the devil himself, what else is there to attack? The mind. The very thoughts of the people. The control center. The heart conceives the act of sin. Yeah, the heart conceives the act of sin, and the blind, and then the blinded mind reacts to it. Understand this. We have wickedness in our heart. Everybody who's been underneath the preaching, whoever's read the King James Bible, we can plainly see that our heart has wickedness in it. Where would be the best place for the devil to get into? Our mind. Our heart is already more wicked than him. Now he needs to win our mind. Now he needs to win our thoughts. Why? Because our heart's already going to conceive the idea. And guess what? Our brain's going to follow and our thoughts are going to put our body into action. Now we're all sold out. Now we're all sold out to the devil. That's why he blinds the minds of the people. He blinds the minds because the heart is already desperately wicked. He can't even attack that. It's already more wicked than himself. But he can sure attack your thoughts. He can sure attack the way you dress, talk, speak, act. He can sure the way you perceive things, the way you see things. He can attack all that. It's all his to open. That's why it says that he's blinded the minds. Blinded the minds. Let me get back into this. The heart conceives the sin or act, and the blinded mind reacts to it. This is the recipe of destruction. A soul lost for hell, a life of utter despair, and one who cannot see the separation between them and God, and who thinks that it's okay doing what they're doing. Do you understand there are people who are living out there today who are living in the most filthy, wretched, disgusting sin, and they're out there thinking that they are okay? How did they get in that? How did they get there? Number one, their heart. Number two, the devil's got their minds blinded to what Jesus Christ is trying to show them. Do you understand our sin nature, our heart, is already so wicked that the devil can do no more to us but attack our minds, because that's what he needs to win over. Once he has your mind won over, guess what you're going to go out there and do? You're going to go out there and do exactly what he wants you to. He's already got you. I'm going to turn to Romans 1. You could just listen if you want. I'm going to go to Romans 1, start in verse 22. And I'll show you a blinded mind right here. Romans 1:22, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. We see that all over the place, where people are taken and worshiping everything except for God. Number 23, and change the glory of the, I read that. 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. You see, already in your heart, God has to give you up to your own heart. He's trying to get you away from your heart, but you know what? It's so wicked. He says, go ahead, I'll give you up to your heart. He doesn't say he gave you up to the devil. He says he gave you up to the lust of your own hearts. The lust of your own hearts. And if you don't think that you have that in your hearts, then you are blinded. You are deceived. Because it is very well sitting in your heart. Okay, so let's continue on. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile afflictions, and even their women changed the natural use of them that which is against nature. Now, do you think people would see that that's against nature? No, they are so blinded with this whole sodomite lesbian thing. They cannot understand that even in nature, here's nature. How do they reproduce in nature? Male and female. God has shown that in nature, that it's male and female. It is impossible for two men or two women to ever reproduce unless it takes somebody from the outside to get intervene in that. God has shown that in the nature, but they are so blinded. Their hearts are so wicked that God had already given them up to their own lust, that their minds are absolutely and completely blinded with this whole thing, that they are okay. They're living a life thinking that they're okay. And you know what? Even nature shows them that ain't right. That's why he says what he says in the next one. And likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the women, borrowed their lust one toward another, men with working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense, the error which was meet. They think that they were born that way. And I'm telling you right now, it's a punishment from God. Why? Because he turned them over to the lust of their own hearts.
That's right.
He turned them over from the... Listen, this is the wickedness that's in these people's heart. People in the pew, I just want to let you know now, that same wickedness is in you.
That's right.
It's only by God's grace that you may not be out there doing these things. I know this for sure. And I have shared the stories with my wife, and I will not share them with you unless you ask me to, then I would. But I'll tell you now, I was almost turned over to that. What by the grace of God that pulled me out of that?
Amen.
I'm just telling you now, I wasn't born that way. Just telling you now. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge and gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they will commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That is, you know what that all stems from? It all comes from our hearts. Those things are sitting in the very human being's hearts. God wants to expose that to each and every person. But the devil has blinded their minds. Okay, you can go out there and do what you want to do. Don't worry about what your heart's telling you. Don't worry about this and don't worry about that. Oh, the Baptists, they're just nutty. All the King James Bible believers, they don't know what they're talking about. Is blinded the minds of those. Okay? Let me move on. How can people protect their minds from the devil, from our flesh, our sin nature, and this world? You know, I don't think people understand that our sin nature is a very deadly thing. I'm just telling you that right now. It has caused separation between man and God, and I'm just telling you right now, it's the most lethal thing that will ever come into your life. You need to understand and realize that sin nature, man, is out to get you just like the devil is.
Come on.
That sin nature wants to destroy everything, any kind of hope that you might have in your life. Guarantee that. How do I know that? Because you guys ain't the only one I got one too. I still got that sin nature in me. Which one am I feeding? Here we go. How do people protect their minds from the devil, from the flesh, our sin nature in this world? The answer is found in Isaiah 26:3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, trusting in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Whose mind is stayed on who? If people could get their mind stayed on the Lord, he says he promises perfect peace. Here's the problem. They can't. Too many distractions with the flesh, sin nature, the world, the devil, the TVs, the cell phones, the this, the that. There's too much distraction for anybody to keep their mind stayed on the Lord. Therefore, they don't have perfect peace. They are blinded by the things of this world. How tempting is this world? Tell me. Honestly, be honest with yourself. How tempting is this world? How tempting is it for you to just want to step away? How tempting is it for you just to want to get away from this thing and go out there and try to think you're going to relieve yourself? Oppression. That is what we get. You know what? I took for granted. I was sitting over here today. Now I'm half asleep and half everything else. And I said, I just could not. It's been such a long time since I even thought about this thing that I'm about to tell you. The beauty of these stained glass windows. They were just popping out to me bright. And I mean, I was just like, my goodness. The Lord just wanted to share that with me. And I just could not. I was just, if you anybody looked up here today, I was just staring at them. The little stories that are in these, if you look, there's little stories and little things that, show you about the gospel. I'll show you about Jesus Christ and what he's done. He's the king and the anchor. And he's on the heart that's bleeding onto the throne. The throne is dripping onto the anchor. And, the cross. And, I mean, all that story is there. And you want that. You just say, my goodness. What beauty we have here. What do we take for granted? The beautiful woodwork. You can go out and try to find some real wood today. Everything's made with plastic. But the woodwork we have, the beautiful church, and you know what? The Lord has given us a place to come here and hear the word. And I don't know where that came from, but you know what? I just understood for a long time that today I stood there and I sat there and I said, I've been taking all this for granted. What if you left out of here? Pastor already said, please be driving, safe driving, because the road's going to be slick. And God forbid you became bedbound, you could never move the rest of your life. Would you remember back to the time you took for granted this very church that the Lord has blessed us with the word of God, the pastor, the friendships? I told my kids this morning, my wife knows, I couldn't sleep in the bed last night. I couldn't sleep in my recliner. I had to try finally at 4 o'clock in this morning, try sitting up on the couch and trying to get some sleep. I told my Sunday school kids, I said I could have stayed in bed whining and crying. I said, but you know where I'd rather be? Here. That's just the God's honest truth. You know what? I came here in a bad mood time, and you heard me say it. I'm in a very good mood. I'm tired, but I'm in a great mood after being here today.
Amen.
Word of God. Being with my friends. Eating. I mean, that's so. I'm happy. I am. I get happy. I mean, I'm happy. Thank God that I have something like this.
Amen.
Thank God that He gave us something like this. But who? How do we have that perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on Thee? Because, and this is our verse, remember. This is our team verse. I told Timmy, I said, go ahead and pick the verse out. He went home and asked his mom. His mom gave him this verse. And what a wonderful verse this is. Just what a wonderful verse is it? That was the first time I read it like that. And I was just like, man, that's the answer. That's the key, right? There's a key to victory right there. Keep our minds stayed on the Lord. Why? Because Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That means His strength never ends. Wouldn't that bring peace to your mind? If we can keep it stayed on Him. That's the whole key. Keeping our minds stayed on Him. The devil surely wants to take your mind off of God. Surely wants to take your mind off of Lord Jehovah, your everlasting strength, my everlasting strength. Imagine if he could blind that mind and we start relying on ourselves. How many times have we relied on ourselves, Amy? I'm just telling you right now, Lord Jehovah, everlasting strength, wants to step away when I start stepping in. I'm just telling you that right now. To the point where I was just like, me and Amy had a really good talk yesterday, and I think he showed us. I thought, don't you believe on the way to Hornell? He really showed us some really good things. And you know what? What Moses was talking about, let me not see my wretchedness, was starting to come out in our life. And he just gave us a little glimmer in that, and I was like, oh no. Oh no, Lord, help us out of this thing. Let's get our mind back on here. I almost fell asleep in my chair, and I had to go, and I went and took a walk. You know where I went? I went and prayed. Because what he was preaching was tearing my heart out the frame. And I just knew that I wasn't right. I just knew that I had things in my life that shouldn't have been there. And I had to talk with Pastor about it this morning. Just things that I thought were totally gone were starting to creep back. You know what that is? That's my wretchedness. That's the stuff I used to be in. That's the stuff I used to do. And he's turning me back over to it to show me, oh, here you go, Mr. Mighty Man. You want to run things yourself? You want to lead me out of things? You want to put me on the back burner? You want to take your mind off of me? Then hold on to yourself for a little while. Oh, no, thank you. You can have it. I'm sorry, but I'd rather have the peace of God. I'd rather have what He's going to give me. I'd rather take His punishment than to live for a life full of hell anymore. You understand me? I'd rather take God's punishment here on earth, His correction, than to go out there and live a life full of hell. I'm glad He takes the time to correct me. I'm His son. I'm His son. And He loves me enough to correct me. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Like I preached last week, there's some of you sitting in here today that's playing Russian roulette. Sometimes you'll seek Him, sometimes you won't. Sometimes you'll be diligent, sometimes you won't. But I'm just telling you now, as it said in Isaiah, that wall's going to break suddenly. I forgot what verse it was, but it says that wall's going to break down suddenly. And all of a sudden, you're going to be destroyed. And whose fault is it going to be? If God gave us a free will, you know it's our fault. Because He's given us many opportunities to come and seek Him and search after Him. But He says you have to have a willing mind. A willing mind. You have to have a mindset that you're willing to let God show you and teach you. I'm just telling you now, let Him bring you to the doubts. Let Him bring you to what you need to see. Let Him make you go in that mirror and say, this is going to destroy everything that I am. You, looking at yourself, you're the one who's going to destroy it. Let Him bring you there. You'll go out there and face drugs and fighting and drinking and everything else. And face what God's trying to show you about yourself. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief, I'm just telling you, when you finally come to that conclusion, you see what He's been trying to get you to see. And I'm just telling you now, it feels like everything's been lifted right off of you. That's what He wants. Our mind stayed on Him, then He brings that peace
that passes all understanding.
That means it's we don't understand that peace that He brings us when He brings us two things. Now, correction is grievous, but afterwards, it's good.
If you're a lost person and He's trying to convict, He's bringing conviction in your life, Holy Ghost conviction. He's trying to show you something. Don't go ahead and knock it. My mom's trying to call me. Don't go ahead and run from it. Run to it. You've been running from Him your whole life. Run to Him now.
I guarantee you, He won't let you down. People in this room will, but He won't. That's something I learned. People in this world will let you down constantly, but God, He will not.
Amen.
He's held us up for how many years now, Amy? Thank God for Him. Thank God. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet protects the what? The head. And in which it's protecting the head, you're also protecting your mind, because salvation protects your mind from the god of this world who would blind your mind. Why do you think He said put a helmet on? The helmet of salvation. Why? So the god of this world cannot blind your minds anymore. It's protected by salvation. That's something. Now, I'm not saying a saved person can't fall, but you're better off when you take the helmet of salvation and go ahead and set that on your head. And you're better off not to be blinded by the god of this world. You have a better chance of turning to God instead of turning to Him. Put on the helmet of salvation. For what? For that protecting of your head. That's protecting your mind. Salvation protects your mind from the god of this world who will try to blind it. It also says to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God will teach us how to protect our minds. It will teach us how to stand against the devils and his temptation. Jesus in Matthew 4, starting verse 3, and going through down to verse 10, we see that Jesus uses the Word of God to defeat the devil. What's he do?
He's up there, and the devil's saying, come on, do this, and come on, do that. And every single time, Jesus answers with the Word of God.
Why do you think he said put the helmet of salvation on, and then the Word of God? Use those two things to defeat the devil. You see? It says in verse 4, we see that Jesus lets the devil know right from the start that man cannot live by bread alone, but man needs the Word of God to survive. This is a jungle out here. Guess what? The devil's a lion seeking to move to and fro, seeking who he may devour. Did you get that? It's a jungle out here. And guess who's the lion? The devil. Guess who he's seeking? Out to devour you. He's out to destroy you. Take everything. You know what? You know what you need? You need the sword. Right here. That's the word. You know what else you need? The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. You said God gave us armor. Why? What's it say He gave us armor for? To be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. To be able to withstand the darts and the things that he throws at us. To be able to stand up against him in battle. Do you know that being a Christian is a battle going on for you? There's a battle going on all the time. There's a constant spiritual battle going on. Especially when you belong to God. Just, you know what? When you belong to God, doesn't mean the devil's going to back off. Doesn't mean he's not going to try to get into your heart and your mind. Doesn't mean he's not going to try to throw some temptations and lies at you. He will. He will. But you know what? He says use the word. Jesus used the word of God to fend off the devil. He's letting the devil know that he will be defeated by his word. His fate is already written. This is why the light of the gospel is so important to be preached, so that the blinded minds will be given sight and the word will go deep into their soul. We read in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the finding asunder in soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It takes the word of God to heal a blinded mind and to defeat the one who is blinding it. I'm just telling you right now, you will never stand on your own and defeat the devil.
Right.
You will never be able to stop him from blinding your mind. As you sit here today thinking that you can stop him, you're already blinded.
Right.
It takes the word of God. It takes the word of God. It takes the word of God. It takes the word of God to heal a blinded mind and defeat the one who is blinding it. Do you know my eyes, my mind, my thoughts and all that would have never, ever, ever been changed if I didn't know the word of God? I would have had the same thought process. I would have never thought any different about my adultery or my fornications or my drinking or my drugging. My mind was just as blind as everybody else's was. I'm thinking I'm living an okay life. I mean, I knew I was a troublemaker. I knew I was where I was out there. But you know what? I didn't see a need for salvation. I didn't see a need for Jesus Christ. I thought I'm just being part of the world. There's people doing that all over the place. How many people are going to jails and prisons and rehabs? How many? I just fit in with the world, right? You see, that's where the devil's got the minds blinded. Thinking that you just fit in with the world. You're just normal. You're doing okay. No. No. You need the Word of God to get inside and start tearing that thing apart. Piece by piece, little by little. And just start splitting it up. Splitting it up. Do you know the more that we get rid of ourselves, the more we can fit in the Word of God? The more that we get rid of ourselves, the more we can start being led by the Holy Ghost. I mean, Him really leading our lives. Do you understand the more that we get rid of us? Decrease. Lord, I must decrease so you can increase. Why would He say that? It has to be less of me and more of Jesus. Less of me and more of Jesus. If there's anybody sitting in these pews that ever looked to me for anything, I'm sorry, but you know what? It's like the blind leading the blind. But now if I'm sitting up here and I'm preaching the Word of God and you see what Jesus Christ has done, what He is doing, what He wants to do, and you see His salvation, you see His faith, you see His grace, then guess what? Then you're going down the right path. Then you can see. Now you're seeing where you should go. If anybody sits in the pew and sees a man and what he's saying and what his thoughts are, you've been deceived. It's not about anything that I say. It's about what the Word of God says. It's about what this thing wants to do. It's about ripping you apart, tearing you down. Listen to me. When a person like Sam, he knows boot camp. He went there as Sam Ashworth. And you know what? They have to tear that Sam Ashworth down and make him into a military man. They got to change his thoughts, the way he does things, acts. All that stuff has to all be taken down, tore apart, and then rebuilt into it. You know what? We go through the same thing. When I got saved, I didn't just stay the same person. The Lord just started, you know what? We had joy for probably 6 or 8 months. I mean, just the Lord just, we didn't have, I didn't go through much of anything. Then all of a sudden, it was time for the Lord to say, Dale, time to get some stuff going. And I tell you what, it's been hard. Joyous. The victories. Just that, I mean, absolute things that are just, the Lord has taken from me and my wife, and the things that He's changed in her life. Can you believe that my children and my wife actually love me and want me around? Dang. Can you believe that family actually wants me? Can you believe that I would even stand up here and be able to even read the Word of God, even preach, or be a Sunday school teacher or whatever? I mean, could you imagine where that all came from? It sure wasn't for me. But see, now if I didn't use the Word of God, if I didn't have the helmet of salvation on, where would I be today? If my mind was still 100% blinded, which I can be, don't think a Christian can't be, blindsided, because we can be. We can be blinded. But you know what it takes? The Word of God. Jesus Christ used the Word of God to defeat the devil. Guess what we're supposed to do? Use the Word of God. How else can we protect our mind? 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abstaining. Abstaining. What's it say? From all appearance of evil. Just the appearance of evil. Just the appearance of evil. Guess what that's going to do? That's going to help protect. God forbid if I go out there and I'm doing something, Doug, that may offend you and make you walk away from this church. Now, I thought it was okay, but you thought it was evil. I have to stand there before the judgment and I'm going to sit there and answer, well, Dale, why don't you do that and make Doug walk away? I don't know what, you know what? We know when things aren't right. We'll sit there and try to tell God, oh, God, I didn't know that might have been evil to somebody. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But your mind was too blinded by the devil. Your mind was too blinded by the devil. You know what it was? It was too comfortable for you. You liked it too much. And the devil had your mind blinded. And you didn't think that you wanted to get rid of it. And now that Doug's gone, he didn't want nothing to do with the church or the Bible or anything anymore. Now you're trying to beg him to come back and such and such. And I'm just using an example. I'm praying to God that never ever happens. But I'm just saying, then what? And that's why he says abstain from all appearance of evil. Just the appearance of something that's evil. Abstain means to keep from, to hold, to forbear, to refrain from voluntarily. But it's used chiefly to denote a restraint upon passions or appetites, to refrain from indulgences. That's what it means to abstain from. Just be done with it all. Okay? Anything that may look evil to someone, don't do it. Keep it out of your life. What looks evil to one may turn out to be evil for you. If it looks evil, then most likely it is sin, and sin blinds the minds. We see that in Romans 14:13. It says, let us not be therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Not a good idea if we cause someone to fall, sin, or walk away from God because of something that we may have done or seen that appeared evil. Not a good thing. Just not a good thing that we get ourselves in that mess. I'm just telling you now, most of the stuff that the world is doing out there appears evil to people. And so if we're out there doing that same very thing, let me ask you something. How is a person supposed to see any difference in your life if you fit in perfectly with this world? It's like you're camouflaging yourself in the world. Are you that ashamed? Are you ashamed to be called by Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of what he's done? You know what? Because of my carnality, you know what I'm about to say? I always pray with my family in public when we're going to eat. Always. Don't fail. I don't go make a public spectacle. We hold hands. I pray. I'm not yelling and screaming or not, do I? But you know what? My carnality had gotten away so much last week that I was almost ashamed to pray in public.
Hold on.
Damn. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The devil got to me. My flesh got to me. I said, no, I'm not having it. We're pregnant. God, I said, you know what I did? I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for being ashamed of you. I'm so thankful that you were not ashamed of me.
He wasn't ashamed of me. He went to the cross for me. But I was going to be ashamed of him? This world tore me up. I mean, stomped on me and did everything it could to me. And the only one that could save me, the only one that could change me, I want to be ashamed of him?
Well,
shame on me. Shame on me.
Really, I beg God for forgiveness, because that was just uncalled for me to get that way. Carnal. That's what it was. Romans 7:23-25, but I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I thank God that he's able to deliver me from my flesh. I thank God that he's able to take me from this carnality, to take the time to show me, for me to see it, and then him deliver me from it. You notice he calls it a body of death. That's what this is, a body of death. It's going to die one day. It's going to go back to where it came from, in the ground and into the dust. It's a body of death. And I'm just telling you now, if you don't think that you're walking around with listen to me, the condemnation of God on the people who are not saved, they don't understand what they're heaping on their heads. They don't understand the judgment that they're going to bring upon themselves. They don't understand. Well, why don't they understand? Why can't they see this? Because the devil has took all their reasoning out of their minds. I'm just telling you now, look at America, people. Look at the things that people do. You mean to tell me you think they have reasonable minds? We're okay with them. We're just living back in it. All good. You know what that means? We're just being part of it. He says, come out from among them. Be ye separate. That means have a different mind thought, a different mindset on what these people are getting into. Why? Because we're called out to that. And it will protect our minds. I'm not going to get all this done. That's all right, though. You guys get my point. I'm going to just read this one more. It says, we must not allow the devil, the liar, to keep our minds blinded. It will keep people doing what he wants us to do. John 8:44 says, you are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Remember that lust. That's your heart. Okay, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. I said Thursday night, Jesus had a witness. He said, I don't speak of myself, but he has a witness. You see what it says? He speaks of his own. He's a liar. He don't have a witness. You see, understand? That's one thing he don't have that God has, righteousness. And he can lie. You see? So take that. He said, I want to be more like the Most High God. So you take all those things, and when he's trying to be like God, and then you take away some important key things that the devil can't do that God can. And guess what? He has you fooled thinking you're serving God.
Come on.
I'm just saying. That's just something. I'm just letting you know. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They don't believe because they have been blinded by their father the devil, and the lust of their hearts they will do. And you know what he's doing? He's egging you on to continue to do them. And the more you do them, the less you'll see Jesus Christ. The less you'll see the need for him. The less they're farther and farther away. You'll fall from salvation. That's what's going to happen when your mind continues to be blinded by the devil and your sin nature and your wicked, wicked heart. And I'm done, Pastor.